Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you.
All right. Here was our assignment from yesterday. My mother said to me, if you become a soldier, you'll be a general. If you become a monk, you'll end up as the Pope. Instead, I became a painter and wound up as Picasso. In each moment, we have the opportunity to be what life is manifesting as us. There's an authentic what this is that gets obscured by all the conditioned nonsense that's been layered on as we've listened to ego's survival crapola. We've heard so much of it for so long that when we hear I or you or me, we believe it has something to do with an authentic being. It doesn't. Awareness practice is the process of getting past the relentless yammer in the head to recognize the unbroken, unending expression of authentic being. The ego rant is that in order to be unique and special, in order to be safe and loved, we have to listen to ego and do what it says. Not so. Today, when you have an urge to be you, go on ahead and be that. RL, how it feels to be a unique expression of life, and allow no opinions from the land of Coppola. All right.
Wonder what happened.
Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. Oh. Can you hear me? Hi, Isata. You were in my pocket.
We can tell by the chaos that we're coming out of your pocket. How are you?
And this is my pocket. My mind is even worse.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's an image. What's going on?
I was traveling for, last week I was traveling in the middle of nowhere and had no internet. So I'm listening now to all the back shows, and they are so fantastic. And there was something, because I just stopped listening to listen to this one now, and you were talking to somebody else about something that applies totally to the quote, and I wanted to ask you more about it. You were saying to someone that when we meet somebody else, the first thing that we think is what we have in common and what are our difference with this person. And it's so true, and it feels so bad. It really brings, at least me, in hell to do it. Like, and I wanted to know more about it, you know?
Well, and it's very subtle, isn't it? I mean, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate works at a level and at a speed that is very difficult for us to catch on to, right? So you look at somebody, and it's just, we could compare it to a computer, you know, that's just running through this system of, I like that, I don't like that. And that's just a really simple, gross way of putting it. But basically, that's what it comes down to. Or yes, no. And then, you know, depending on what the situation is, we go forward. You know, for almost everybody we run into, that's it. It comes out on the no side of the equation, and we just move on. If it's a coworker, if it's a neighbor, if it's, somebody that we're sort of required to be in relationship with, or even if it's somebody, if you're single and unattached, then it's somebody who might potentially be a relationship, an intimate relationship, then there's the moving forward with negotiation. And that's when it becomes, for most of us anyway, I think, more obvious, because we start hearing the conversation in the head. You know, I can't stand it when he does that. You know, I wish she wouldn't. Right? And now
yes.
We're getting to see, right? You're getting to see the karmic, the egocentric karmic conditioning that is navigating your way through life.
Yes, oh my God, I can so relate to it when you said about the single person. It's like, yes, no, yes, no. You know, it's terrible, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And
it
even
seems
with,
like the opposite of belonging.
Yeah, with the yes, for most people, I mean, if we consider how many people we meet in our lives, you know, it's yes, well, yes. Now, that might take a few years even, but eventually it's going to get to no, no, no. Because if it doesn't, I'm going to have to give up that karma in order to relate to this person. And ego is just not interested.
Oh, this is so interesting. I so want to do that. And the only way to learn to do it is keep practicing. No shortcuts,
right.
I guess, right?
That's uh-huh. exactly right. Because we're going to question each time. So somebody has a behavior. Again, this is where I go to the Screwtape Letters by C.F. Lewis. You know, he just did the most masterful job of all time of describing this process that we're talking about. So eventually it comes down to, I hate the way he holds his coffee cup. I can't stand it. Okay? If I see him do it again, I'm just going to have to scream. You know, it's that kind of mm-hmm. little, silly, we say stupid stuff that will determine whether or not we're going to stay in relationship with somebody. And that, when we confront those things, that's when we're going up against ego. We just say, I'm not participating. I'm not doing that. I choose love.
Oh, this is so interesting. Oh, it's fantastic. I'm going to record it and re-listen to it because there is so much in it that I don't even know what to reply. I just want to absorb it.
Yes, yes. And to the way you're looking at it, Hisota, you can do this at work. You can do this everywhere. You know, you get on a bus or you're walking down the street and just watch how that conversation in the head is creating for you the world you live in. Just
mm-hmm.
catching on to that, right? Yeah.
Exactly, and not believing it, but without being beaten for having it, you know? This is the trick,
exactly.
Because otherwise it becomes, oh, you're so judgmental, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh.
That's right, and you're not, because, again, what you're getting to see is, no, that's just going on. I'm not doing that. It's like watching a movie. It just does that, and now I'm catching on. Now I'm watching it instead of watching through it. That's how it controls us. We watch everything through it, and now we're learning to step back and watch it. It's a whole new world. Yeah, so no beatings.
Exactly.
No beatings for what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is doing. Got nothing to do with us.
Exactly. It's like if I were upset about how my heart beats. The only difference is that now I can change it, while I can't change the heartbeat. But it's the same thing, you know, I cannot be upset about it. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Or the way my feet look. You know, I'm going to be beat.
Or the way
my
feet look.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sorry. It wasn't my choice. So
it wasn't my choice.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Oh, thank you so
Would
much.
You let us know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Hisota. The thing that I like that resonated for me the most, Sherry, is when you said that I choose love. And mm-hmm. the confusion is that I have to choose the person. I have to choose love for someone. And that
or
is
for how that person holds their coffee cup.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
And that takes us back into the realm of preferences and likes and dislikes and avoidance and aversion and all of those things. And that process has already made a determination of preference. You cannot, you have to recontextualize in order to love. And it's not loving the ego or loving the ego, whatever the ego is projecting.
Yes.
And if
it's
we could
really
get that, it's a
stepping
movement
into the moment,
out of judgment.
It?
Yeah, movement out of judgment into love, mm-hmm. not loving the person. It makes it all so much easier.
It really does, doesn't it? Because we don't have to have that conversation about, well, that's crazy. I can't love somebody who does that. Because blah, 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 blah. But no, we're not engaging at that superficial level of ego identification. We're stepping out of that into this here now. Synonym for that is love.
Yes. Well, and the thing that we've been looking at all through these shows is how that ego works on the level of content. But I think in that conversation with Isota, what I got was ego is content.
Ooh. Oh. Ooh.
Right?
Oh.
I mean, from an awareness perspective, ego is content.
Yeah.
And so the self, its preferences, its likes and dislikes, if it becomes content, then there's a way in which we can be present that we don't engage in the content of it.
Wow. Wow, that is big. That's big. That's a peace quote. Right? That is big. The ego is content. Wow. Okay, that's what I'm going to practice with today.
Me too. Well, let's hear from someone else.
All right. Good.
Okay, we've got a long queue, and I think I could get a caller back from yesterday. So here we go.
Oh, yay.
Caller
All right.
Now live in the air. Would you introduce yourself?
Hello, Ashwini. Hello, Sherry.
Hi, Anne.
It's Anne from
Hi, Anne.
Hi, thank you for getting me back on. That was really kind. Thank you very much. Hi,
well, it was such a shock. It was such a shock when all of a sudden, boom, she's gone. So,
yeah, that's happened to me twice now. Anyway, oh, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
It's not Thanksgiving where you live, right? But you can be happy for all of us.
Yeah, so we can always live in gratitude, whatever country we're in.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that with Isota, too, because I suspect it's not a Thanksgiving holiday in Peru either. Again, whoever is celebrating something, especially if it's gratitude, let's find out and celebrate with them. What the heck?
Yeah. What the heck? Yeah. So, my mind's gone blank now, but let's see. I was working with the quote from, the today's quote. So, being who life wants us to be, and my first reaction to that was so this year I had decided to give up teaching job and to do the things I want to do, and it's been wonderful, quite challenging at times. So I was thinking, is that what the quote is pointing at? And maybe. And then I was looking at yesterday's peace quote, and I think there was a couple that came in. One that you had that was assigned to you about when we die, we won't look at what we hadn't done. We'd look at how we were, something along those lines. And the other peace quote was about being incomplete. Ego will tell us that we're incomplete, and actually life will tell us that we are perfect just the way we are. And I think that's where it came back to today, and it was so nice. Like, I can just be conscious, compassionate awareness, whatever's going on. I can be in that.
Whatever is going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because as Ashwini just pointed out, all content that ego would like us to focus on, the voices would like us to focus on, that's just content. That's just stuff. We can always choose to be in conscious compassion and awareness, regardless.
Regardless. And Ashwini said, ego is content. Then by default, awareness is process. Because it's like the process of how you do it. Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of nice. It's a neat package, that.
And you know, as soon as we catch on to it, it works really well for us, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Ashwini said something on a radio show a long time ago, and I can feel my brain go flip. And it was like, if we're not in condition, if we're not in awareness, we're in ego. And immediately I got the idea of that there's nothing in between, there's no self. So it kind of, you know, when you hear something and your mind kind of goes, off, spins off. And it was like, whoa.
Right.
And I think since then I've found it so much easier. Oh, goodness, I'm judgmental now. I'm this, I'm that. Oh, sorry, I'm in the process of judgment. Oh, it has to be ego because awareness doesn't judge. So it's kind of really nice to see that.
It's a good formula, isn't it?
It's
one of those, well, and you can tell you're a school teacher, right? Because that's what teachers are looking for, right? To help students. Have a handle. Shwini always talks about handles and frameworks and that sort of thing. And as soon as you get that kind of formula, then you can plug everything into it and not have to try to figure out every single detail. And so what the one you just laid out is really perfect. Oh, judgment. Oh, okay, well, that's ego because there are two choices. I don't have to noodle around in the middle somewhere. I can just drop that content, slip into the process, and be here now.
Yeah, and recording and listening is a powerful tool to help us do that, isn't it? You know, because sometimes it's a bit sticky, you know, sometimes.
Exactly so.
Yeah. And
it is. And
sorry.
If I may, the stickiness, that's a synonym for suffering, isn't it?
Yeah, sickness.
Because
when
we get caught in that, and that's where the suffering is. And what you're saying, to be able to just go, oh, stickiness, suffering, ego, take a deep breath, maybe pick up the recorder. Yeah, to get back here, maybe just look at a tree, look at the sky, look at whatever it is, take a long, deep breath, remember who we are, and we don't need to do that. We don't need to do
that. Yeah, we can just expand the awareness and come out of it. It's, step around the hole that we've just dropped into sometimes. So, I've enjoyed your discussions on the Screwtape Letters. I finally got around to reading them. And what I think is genius about that book is that he doesn't look at the big things. He tells, I can't remember the characters now, but the devil is there. Yeah, well, sorry, whatever. Do you care for what words
Screwtape
I use here?
Screwtape and Screwtape and whoever those people.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the nephew's name is. But anyway,
And he tells him, don't worry about the big things like the war and stuff like that. It's the little things that we can get them in the little places, in the sound of the irritated voice. And they're the bits that are actually what affects us the most, isn't it? You know, we do have big situations, but it's the little things that make up our day, isn't it? And smiling at someone or not judging them because they've taken a, you know, they've just gone out in front of you in a car. Little things like that mount up, don't they? So it's those little things, you know.
Yeah, and when you were pointing that out, I was recalling that one of the ways that he shows us how the devil gets us is take the relationships that mean the most to us and start picking those little tiny, you know, the way he raises his eyebrow or that she never says blah, blah, or whatever it is. And convinces us to forget all of this wonderful, loving connection with somebody in favor of this one little thing, and then just get on that, and just get on it, get on it, get on it, get on it, until finally we can't stand the person.
Sounds familiar.
Yes, and it is truly diabolical.
It's vicious, isn't it? Yeah, I'm laughing, but it is vicious. But I kind of find if I laugh, the Screwtape Letters make me laugh, which helps me to see outside of it, helps me get out of that, you know. I find that, it's a brilliant book. Yeah, I love it. So
it really is. As I am fond of saying, it's the best book on meditation I think I've ever read. Even though he never mentions meditation at all, right? Yeah. But he really lays out the process of how we're kept from being present.
He does, and at the same time, I'm reading the other one, A Grief Observed, and there's a similar thing in that where he's so stuck in his grief that God's message can't get through, and it's a similar thing. So it's not just grief where we feel how sad we feel for the person's loss, but it's the anger and the, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And it's, again, it's almost in a place of ego, but without beating ourselves up. But it's a similar process going on, and again, a genius way of doing it. And then he suddenly wakes up one day and he's like, oh, the connection's there again. And it's like, what? How did that awareness expand? And it's, I don't know, just genius stuff. Yeah, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's always so helpful to witness how somebody else has made that shift from lost content to expanded awareness of the process of life. It's
fabulous.
Very helpful.
He's good at that, I think. So thank you both very much, and thank you for getting me back on, Ashwini. Actually, you know, just quickly before you go, yesterday I was feeling really low energy, and how long did I get on for? About 2 seconds? I was buzzing all night. So I didn't even get to sleep. I was like, woo! I connected to the mothership.
Yeah, just plug into that electricity, and there you go.
So even just making Star 6, that's enough, isn't it? You know, I got on for 5 seconds. That's more than enough, and then to talk is wonderful. So thank you very much.
Thanks
to you both.
Thanks
to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye-bye. 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 Thanks, Anne. Well, we can certainly feel the buzz from that call, Sherry. So I'm just going to bring someone else in so that they can feel too. Here we go.
All right. We'll all buzz again.
Mm-hmm. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Mira in Seattle.
Hey, Mira.
Hello.
Hi. It's been a while since I've called in.
I know.
Yes. And I've been really suffering over practice and participation. And it's funny.
Mira,
yeah.
if I may, right there, proving that practice can be turned into content by ego, by the voices. Right?
Absolutely.
Even practice can become the content for suffering. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. One of the things that tripped me up was the last time I called in, I talked about how there were these sobs that were coming up in really inopportune times, and I was encouraged to see that as cleansing. And I waited and waited and nothing was happening. And then one day it happened and my awareness went there and it just dissolved. And it was almost like that success started making me afraid to call in again.
Yeah, it started making ego afraid to call in again.
Yes, yes.
Ego is never afraid of anything. Ego is fear. But it doesn't cause people to be afraid as long as it's being nurtured and supported. But anytime a person starts doing something threatening to it, that's when the fear comes up. That's the campaign to don't do that.
Right.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't call in. Don't go on retreat. Don't get a coach. Don't do that. Because it's working for you.
Right. And yet at the same time, I couldn't stop having awareness. I couldn't stop having insights. I couldn't stop having the idea of calling in again come up.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're so taken care of, aren't we? And you got to see that process.
Right.
You got to see that. Even though there's this pressure, don't call. No, you don't have time. You're too busy. You don't have anything to, it doesn't say, this is working for you. You know, you're starting to be more aware, and as ego, I am terrified that you're going to, you know, it's not going to say that, but you're really busy and there's a lot going on and you're still working on a lot of stuff and you can call in later, you know, next week or whenever there'll be more time, it'll be more spacious, right? And yet, as you say, awareness is still there. Right, you're still aware of awareness, so you're seeing the process. You're seeing what it's doing to you. That's all part of the workshop, isn't it?
It really is, and it affected everything. it wasn't just calling in. It was also my participation in Project Joy and recording and listening. And there's this distance that became created, that got created, and this hardening. But it could never be complete. It wasn't like a severing. There was still a wanting to be here.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, if we talk about it as a relationship, you have a relationship, you know, a primary relationship with somebody in your life, and you get into a state about them, a snit, a whatever, you know, as we were just talking about, they become really annoying in whatever way, and ego is working on that, trying to create a wedge in the relationship, and you're aware that you still want the relationship. But a lot, is this true for you? Can you relate to this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Anybody who has a relationship can, okay,
yeah.
If they're honest, right? And so it's working, but you're still aware that you want the relationship. Now, if it has its way, if ego has its way for long enough, it's going to get rid of that relationship eventually. And we look around and we realize, oh, that does seem to be a popular avenue of suffering that it takes, because we see a lot of people who start out in whatever relationship and they're happy in that relationship, and then over time they become unhappy in that relationship, and of course it's the other person's fault because they're not, you know, they're not who I want them to be, and we get rid of them, right? So same with practice, right? The awareness is there, but if we don't continue to choose awareness, eventually it can take us away, which is, you know, that's its ultimate coup.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The assignment for yesterday to focus on, instead of being you, being that, was really helpful.
Not being ego, but being the expression of life that we happen to call Mira.
That's right. And everything that's getting missed when that's not allowed to happen.
Right. That is a really important point, right? You miss it. You miss out. But everybody misses out.
Right.
Right? Every time. And let's face it, I mean, almost nobody gets to be in authenticity, right? Because we're just not. And so look what we're missing out on. Look at all the problems that exist in the world. Might they all be solved if we could all be what life is manifesting authentically? Well, what would happen to those problems if we could all be what life is actually unfolding us to be?
Oh, it's very exciting.
It really is. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
That's a lot of brilliance, a lot of goodness, a lot of unconditional love, a lot of possibility.
Oh, and so much gratitude, yeah. So much gratitude for that opportunity.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Okay. Happy Gratitude Day.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Thank you, Mira. Wow, that was so big, Sherry. I mean, that whole entire range of the conversation. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show.
All right.
Here's our assignment. And it's so perfect. I mean, that quote, the quote that we've got to practice with today at the end of that conversation is just sheer perfection. It really points to life is always brilliantly expressing itself appropriately in the moment. And the quote is, don't compromise yourself. You are all you've got.
Yeah.
That's a sobering and heartening piece of clarity, isn't it? No one is coming to save us. This is it. Our well-being, our salvation depends on us. Well then,
we'd best get on with supporting our one hope of getting out of this alive, hadn't we? It's not hard to imagine how we would treat the person who showed up after we'd been lost in the wilderness for a few days or shipwrecked alone on an island for a few weeks, would it? We'd be really happy to see them. We'd want them to know how grateful we are to see them and that we're ready to do whatever they need us to do, right? Today, treat yourself the way you would treat the person who is all you've got. McCartan, listen.
Yeah, so here we are. We've been shipwrecked for several weeks, and somebody just arrived to save us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's be with that person today. Very good.
Yes.
Thank you,
Ashwini. Yes, and we wouldn't say, what's wrong with you that you got shipwrecked?
Right.
Where have you been? You know what? The dishes are in the sink. You know?
We would not be having those conversations.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well,
all right.
Enjoy
Thank
this Thanksgiving
Take
day.
Care.
Thank you.
And
thanks, everybody.
Go happy.